boats on the topmast! A beautiful sight!
I hope your mother doesn't miss them.
She has such things in abundance.
You are truly mad, Benjamin, on such a night to climb so high.
Too cautious, my friend. How else are we to win?
In truth, the Scarlets will be hard-pressed to match such an exploit.
And the Blue Devils will triumph, Alexander!
I saw you!
What?
I saw you! Profane a woman's undergarments, you wicked creature.
I merely moved them to a different location.
You are a godless sinner.
He does lack a certain pious inclination, madam. You are correct.
Decent folk cannot walk the streets these days without a student rabble making their life a misery.
I would imagine yours a misery in any case, madam. Here, you may have one of our favours.
Blue!
That's enough, Ben. Now, come on.
You dare insult your elders. Look at you, a deformed soul. See God's punishment for your wickedness.
Go to perdition.
You will wait till I have ended.
Take your hands from me.
You will wait.
Benjamin, come on with you.
Let me go.
Oh, see how I am treated. God help me. Oh, God help me. I am in sore need. Reach down your hand, Lord. Reach down your hand.
I have returned, madam, to have the last word.
Natural violence. A storm has hit Edinburgh. The rain hammers down as if it would summon the spirits of Noah and his ark. How old was Noah in any case? Over 900 years and never once committed a crime. That's quite a feat. I wonder what the raven felt like when they sent it out from the ark and said, "Don't bother coming back unless you find a twig." I wonder if he actually discovered such, but decided not to come back anyway because he was in the huff. Ravens are perverse creatures. I wonder if the clients at Jean Brash's body used to just land are listening to the windows rattle and worrying that it might be the wife upon the prowl. Lofty thoughts on a wild night. I feel an inner calm, not unconnected with the blood pudding and stove tatties I consumed at the tavern. Natural ballast. I am, however, James McCleavy, Inspector of Police, my parish is Leith in the city of Edinburgh, and I'm not such a fool as to think this internal serenity will last forever. But it seems to suit me. I am a rock, a calm centre in the eye of the storm. Let the elements have their wild emotion in bouts of madness. I am detached, composed, and I might even make myself another cup of coffee.
Agnes Carnegie, found floating in the harbour.
Floating?
The air had become trapped under her skirts.
Natural buoyancy.
I think I recognise the corpse.
You should, Constable. Recall Christmas past. A poor box stolen from the Free Presbyterian Church in Junction Street. The thief pursued by the minister and some devout worshippers.
She was one of them.
But there was nothing in the poor box.
Oh, hardly Mrs. Carnegie's fault.
I agree, Lieutenant. There seems to be some discoloration at the base of her throat.
Could be bruising, thumb marks. Difficult to tell.
A devout soul on the path of righteousness. How does she end up in the Leith Harbour?
God's mystery, sir. Mulholland, hold the arm aside. Something's stuck up the sleeve here.
Do you need the tweezers?
Make do with my nails.
You're like a pair of grave robbers.
Now, wait. What do you make of this, Lieutenant Roach?
A blue favour. These damned students.
Scarlet and blue, all over the city.
But this is closer to home. Was there not a female undergarment found atop the mast of the excise ship this very morning?
Indeed.
It also had a blue favour, the undergarment.
And the harbour swarming last night with both factions.
What are you thinking, McCleavy?
Accident or foul play, who knows? But for the moment, this is all we have to go on.
If you can prove connection between this death and these educated louts, I will personally pour you out a malt whiskey with my own fair hand.
Lieutenant's not in great humour.
A few days ago, a woman had her bottom pinched in Salamander Street. Mr. Roach was just behind her and held culpable.
But it was another student escapade.
And the lieutenant completely innocent.
What a shame.
We know that Agnes Carnegie left the church 9 o'clock last night.
So the Reverend James Gibbon has informed us.
She carried with her a piece of Bible binding, which the moths had got her.
What's the Bible? The minister's own book.
Which she intended to repair, neither found on her person.
Could have fallen into the dock.
Mr. Gibbon saw her put them in her bag. It was found in the water, snap shut. Money still in her purse, stuffed down at the bottom. So if foul play, robbery was not the motive. But why the vanished Bible?
As if accidental.
What the hell happened?
James McCleavy, a word in your ear.
Jean Brash. By God, the wages of sin pay well these days. Is this another new carriage?
Just a lick of paint.
And how is my big fine constable?
I am sufficient, Mistress Semple.
Growing all the time, I'll wager.
I have an incident to report.
Such as?
A mannequin figure stolen from a shop in Princess Street, the window broken. It turned up in my garden, bolt upright, painted red.
A scarlet woman?
These boys are getting out of hand, Inspector. It frightened the peacocks.
Peacocks?
The mistress has bought herself ornamental birds.
That's nice. If you have intruders in the garden, Jean Brash, I suggest you let fly at them. Small shot is best. It hurts like the pox.
I wouldn't know. On you go, Angus. This is a waste of my precious time. What if it's you, McCleavy?
What?
That intrudes upon my garden.
Shoot to kill.
A damn fine idea.
Isn't it just?
Pleasant interlude. Where to now, sir?
I've made inquiries as to the leaders of these depredations, and we shall beard the young lions in their den.
Usually when Jean Brash comes at you, you get provoked something terrible.
But not today. Today, I'm in a rare calm. Scarlet woman. That's very funny.
Hilarious.
A bit of fun, Inspector. Letting off steam.
Steam?
A figure of speech, sir.
We have passed all medical exams, soon to be qualified, respectable, but in the meantime...
You wreak havoc, Mr. Drummond.
You and Mr. Barr have been indicated to me as the leaders of one of the factions.
The Blue Devils.
As opposed to the Scarlet Runners.
We compete to perform the most daring deeds.
Like breaking shop windows?
It goes a bit far at times.
Such as causing death?
What?
An old woman was found by the Leith docks, possibly assaulted... Most certainly dead.
On her corpse was found a blue favour. Your colours, Mr. Barr.
Not me, personally.
I admit we had a crowd down there last night, but, I mean, a bit of a fracas with some local barbarians, but no old woman.
Is that your experience, Mr. Barr?
It is. Indeed.
Who stuck the underwear up the mast?
Not a clue. Someone in the crowd.
Were they stolen?
What?
The corsets.
Aha, Jessica. Perhaps you can help us. These gentlemen are wondering where I might have laid my hand upon some corsetry.
I don't make use of it. You are James McCleavy, are you not? The thief-taker?
I have been so described.
A friend of mine, Annabel Clayton. Her father.
No.
You arrested him for embezzlement.
He deserved it.
We arrest people all the time, ma'am.
Past, present and future. We shall speak again, sir. Rest assured.
Just harmless fun, Inspector.
Tell such to Agnes Carnegie.
Who is that?
The old woman who died.
Nothing to do with us, as I have told you.
As you have told, we'll see ourselves out.
Oh, Inspector, I intend to specialise in forensic science. We may meet in professional capacity.
A prospect to savour.
What do you think of Teichmann's work?
Step along the way.
But surely a microscopic test for haemoglobin must have its uses.
Uh-huh. It tells us the what, but not the who.
How do you mean, Inspector?
When we can not only identify what biological traces are left at the scene of a crime, but link it to the who, the perpetrator, then we may all dance on the grave of crime. Not until then.
I'm sure Ludwig Teichmann would agree.
Are you of a medical bent, Miss Drummond?
I study privately. Women are not yet allowed within the hallowed halls.
Then kick the door down.
We intend to.
I would advise both of you gentlemen to take stock. You are under the microscope.
Well, my darling brother, stick that in your biological pipe and smoke it.
A lucky guess.
I don't think so. That man worries me.
Why? You have nothing to fear. What about this poor old woman?
Oh, an accidental death down by the docks. We the prime suspects.
Oh, you two should pull in your horns.
Agreed.
Nonsense. You, my dear sister, are nothing less than a conformist.
Am I really?
Yes, you are.
I shall ponder that. In the meantime, you may inform our mother as to the whereabouts of her corsets.
They were decrepit.
And fitted all the better. She is waiting.
I don't suppose you...
No. Run along.
Benjamin, we have to talk.
Yes, plan the next step. Rest assured.
You're a good friend, Alexander.
I hope so.
Because of his infirmity, Benjamin feels he has to prove himself twice over.
I realise that.
You must watch over him.
A difficult task.
Perhaps I can help.
You have my total sympathy, Mr. Carnegie.
I don't want your sympathy, Lieutenant. I've just seen my mother's body and I want to know how and why she died.
The investigation has scarce begun.
I am a journalist, sir, and I know the pace of investigation in Leith. It's like a snail.
The race is not always to the swift.
Chaos in the streets last night. A drunken rabble of students, and in her cold hand, she holds a blue favour.
Actually found up her sleeve.
That is by the way. I shall write a scathing indictment of your force, sir. And the Leith Herald will ask the question why you cannot control a bunch of educated hooligans.
Sergeant Murdoch said you wished to see me,
sir. McCleavy, yes, of course. This is...
Carnegie, I should have made connection.
Why didn't you, Inspector?
A common enough name, and the dead woman was decent, devout.
And I'm the opposite, huh? An evil atheist. I'm also a loving son.
I'm sure you are, sir.
One question. Was my mother murdered?
One answer. I don't yet know.
What about the evidence found on her body?
Mr. Carnegie has seen his mother and her artifacts.
The streets were littered with these favours. She could have picked her up anywhere.
Aye. But try this for size. These students are spoiled rotten. No moral compass worth a damn. They strive to outdo each other. A murder? That would be the ultimate. No one could top that, eh? Win at all costs.
A good headline. That is the small matter of proof.
Wait till you read the paper. It will make your toes curl. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Like a flea on a dog's rear end.
What?
Carnegie jumps to conclusions.
And what is your conclusion?
Catch the ringleaders in the act, threaten charges, find the truth of what happened last night.
You believe they are concealing something?
I do indeed. Mulholland felt the same.
Oh, then how do we catch these miscreants?
I have a plan. It must wait till this evening.
What do we do until then?
Our bounden duty, sir. Our bounden duty.
I pay your wages.
Indirectly, I suppose you do.
I pay my taxes, my parish charge.
Which gives succour unto and supports the police force of Leith, your protector and guardian.
So, protector, what do you intend?
I could send Mulholland back to the station for the tweezers.
Tweezers?
We could pick off the feathers one by one. Take a deal of time, though.
Hannah, do you hear this lunacy?
I do, mistress. Typical.
Trouble is, ma'am, feathers are stuck on the red paint, which is stuck on the gates. The only way is to scrape it all down, I'm afraid.
Why are these young devils picking on me?
Possibly because their fathers spend more time at your body house than they do at home. I shall file a report. Gates painted red, feathers strewn over, body house in uproar.
Oh, go to hell, James McCleavy. Go straight to hell.
I don't think she's very pleased, sir.
Watch your next cup of coffee through the mistress, McCleavy. It could be poisoned.
I'll bear it in mind.
Those bloody bats drive me mad.
Hannah, have you ever heard of the notion that events happen in threes?
You think the buggers will be back?
Uh-huh. What could be the next target, eh?
Damned if I know.
From the tail of your ornamentals, a feather in their cap, you need to set a trap.
How would that be done?
Tether the peacocks in the middle of the garden, tripwires at a distance round them.
Tie something in that makes a sound, little bells or the like.
We have such, left over for Christmas.
Don't tell Jean it's my idea. Present it as your own or she'll reject it out of hand.
Once the wee bells go tinkle, tinkle, what do we do then?
Up to you, Hannah. Up to you.
Are you certain this will work, McCleavy?
The inspector is a dab hand at setting up ensnarement, sir. You're the second this day.
And what was the other mark?
Ornamental birds.
Oh, that gives me great comfort. How does the target look, McCleavy?
A top hat of most splendid proportions, sir. Perfect invitation for a clod of mud.
Mud?
Figure of speech, sir.
There they come. Best of luck, Lieutenant. Tall and proud is the way.
Not how I am feeling at this precise moment, McCleavy. Not remotely.
How did you persuade the lieutenant to this?
I told him that you and I were too obvious, too familiar a landmark. We needed someone of mystery, unknown, enigmatic.
With a big top hat on his head.
Exactly. Wait now. That has to be Drummond, the way he drags his leg.
Uh-huh. The other is Barr, but who's the third?
Not important. That's it, Mamani. Pick up and take aim.
If they hit, what is the accusation?
Assault of a police officer.
Mr. Hatton hit the lieutenant.
You go after the two, I'll take the third.
McCleavy, I have one in hand.
That's double assault.
I have him now.
I didn't think the lieutenant had it in him.
You never know, Mulholland. Life is full of surprises. You run, I walk. But I know these wines better than any living being. Now, let's have a look at you, Mamani. Miss Drummond, what in God's name are you doing gallivanting?
I am... Oh, my ribs. I'm not gallivanting. I'm a fool.
I'll give you no argument there. Here, sit up. Did I hurt you?
Only my pride.
That comes before a fall. Explain yourself.
I wanted to watch over my brother.
Such as when he throws mud at folk.
I didn't expect... He took me by surprise. And if I tell you the truth, I suppose I came also because I was challenged.
To behave like a man?
Yes.
That is, with great stupidity.
Yes. Oh, I must lean back. I suppose you will arrest me now.
You tell me my job as well. Thank you.
No, but, I mean, you must.
Must I? Here, get to your feet.
You lack the gentle touch, Inspector.
Do I really? On your way.
What?
Go on, before I change my mind.
You should treat me with respect, sir.
Uh-huh. Tweed cap and trousers with a big dod of mud on your nose.
I didn't know. There. Gone. I thank you. What about my brother?
He'll take what's coming. Now, on your way.
You are not a civil person.
You're a very lucky girl.
I am not a girl. I am a woman.
That is a matter of debate. A matter of debate.
You have no right!
Assault of a police officer, Mr. Drummond.
Indeed so. I am surprised you failed to catch the third man, Inspector.
Losing my touch, sir.
In contrast to Mulholland and I. Come along, Constable, a report to write, and then that whiskey I promised.
From your own fair hand, sir.
Yes, indeed. Come along.
Well, Mr. Barr, you've been quiet enough.
I feel like a fool.
There's worse to come.
This will all be resolved. No harm done.
Agnes Carnegie, the cause of her death has yet to be determined.
Nothing to do with us.
Mr. Barr, do you still deny crossing paths with this poor woman?
I need to rest.
Rest away. We shall talk in the morning.
We must stay here all night.
People tell me it's difficult to sleep in the cells. Lumpy mattresses, biting fleas, strange noises in the dark. I think it's more to do with the effect of a guilty conscience.
Why did you take so long, Benjamin?
What?
I waited. You were with the old woman a long time.
I went back to have the last word.
Nothing else?
No, nothing else!
Thank God my sister was not taken. Think of the disgrace.
Yes. Think of the disgrace.
Jessica Drummond. Young enough to be my daughter. That must be why I let her go. Or was it? Is it? What is it? Is it? My inner serenity is all shot to hell. I have a terrible feeling of gastric turmoil. I didn't expect to see a woman. That's the problem. It should have been a man with a hairy face. Not eyes and breath and sweet smell and whatever the hell it was. Fragrance unexpected can hit you below the belt. I'm talking nonsense. Gibble gabble, pull yourself together, James McCleavy. Now, on to material matters. They are both hiding something. Drummond more successfully than Barr, who seems a decent type. The other is a strange specimen, so small of stature with that withered leg, yet holds himself like one of Jean Brash's peacocks. Have I found that those who present a bold front react most violently when the facade is penetrated? Which brings me to where I began. Jessica Drummond. Her eyes are dark and deep. Oh, dear.
Go ahead, Mr. Bogue. Nothing to fear.
I will. When I read the paper, I knew right away, and so I came to see you, sir. I can read, you know.
Most impressive. Carry on.
I saw the woman by the harbour. A man lays hands upon her, round the neck.
You're sure of that? Round the neck?
With my own eyes.
What happened after that, sir?
The rain blew hard in my face. A dirty night. When I looked again, she was gone. He was still there, but she was gone.
Would you recognise this man again?
Maybe so. Small of stature, well-dressed, a jacket handy. When he walked away, his leg was twisted round, dragged after.
Mulholland, go now to the cells and engage our two young men in conversation.
I heard you arrested such last night, spoiled brats.
Bring them to the front of the bars. I will position Mr. Bogue to look through the Judas hole of the big door.
That's me gone, sir. I will accompany the witness.
You'll do no such thing. Interfere with my investigation or throw you in the jail myself.
An empty threat.
I wouldn't risk it, Mr. Carnegie.
Mr. Bogue, when you saw this happen, did you not think to raise the alarm?
Who would believe me? My word against his. A jacket, Andy. I was fear I would get the blame.
Don't worry. The power of the press will grant you safe deliverance.
Come along, sir. And take your time to look. There is no rush to judgment here. Aye.
Don't let them influence you, Mr. Bogue. Without fear or favour.
I did not enjoy your article in the paper, Mr. Carnegie.
Little compared to the words in Prospect if Bogue points the finger.
You will write nothing of the sort. If you prejudice this investigation by disclosing evidence before it is properly weighed and balanced...
You mean you don't want to charge a spoiled brat with murder?
I mean you will wait until proof is certain.
Mulholland is taking statement from Mr. Bogue.
To the effect that...
Identification of Benjamin Drummond as the man with his hands round the throat of Agnes Carnegie.
There's your proof!
Not enough. A confession would be helpful, Inspector.
I shall interrogate, rest assured.
And I shall hold my fire. But not for long.
This cannot be true.
I'm afraid so, Miss Drummond. A witness.
A liar.
An old man. What motive would he have? We question both boys separately.
Boys?
They seem so to me. Too much learning, no enough common sense.
The same, I'm sure, might apply to me. I regret my lack of manners, Inspector. Please continue.
It took time to dig it out, but essentially they tell the same story, which fits events with one disparity. A confrontation with Agnes Carnegie. Mr. Barr then left, joined after some time by your brother.
The reason for delay?
Maintains he lost his temper with the old woman, shoved her to the ground, went back to apologise, help her to her feet.
So typical of Benjamin trying to repair matters after the event.
The disparity is that, rather than a sister, a witness saw your brother put his hands around the woman's throat.
Benjamin is boastful, inconsiderate, hot-tempered and selfish, but not a murderer.
Many a murder occurs in a fit of temper.
No, please. An accident of birth left him with a crippled leg. His compensation has been to...
Win at all costs?
I know him to the core. He is not a killer.
The weight of evidence indicates otherwise, Miss Drummond.
Please. It would break my mother's heart and mine. My brother is innocent. I know it. Help me, Inspector. I put my trust in you.
What does that mean?
You let me go. I saw it in your eyes. You are a good person.
I'm just a thief taker.
Searched his room, sir. Found nothing. Thank you again, ma'am, for letting us poke about.
My brother has nothing to hide.
I'm sure I hope that's true.
What were you seeking out? Another body?
No, ma'am. Biblical artifacts.
Taken from the dead woman. Perhaps a trophy.
We'll find them and you'll find the murderer.
Perhaps. Goodbye, Miss Drummond.
Inspector, do not forget your promise.
What promise is that?
The one you made. Goodbye.
Is everything ready?
I believe so. Are you set for aim, Angus?
Huh?
He used to be a poacher, mistress. He will not gang a clay.
Small shot spreads wide in any case.
Oh, black as the devil's heart out there.
What was that?
Could be a fox.
Oh, my poor peacocks.
That's not a predator. That's an idiot.
Get ready, Angus. Girls, at my signal, every light in the house on in a trice. Whisht. One, two, three.
There they go, heedless chickens.
Wait till they climb the back wall, Angus, and aim for their backsides.
They're well presented now.
Fire and be damned.
Cold day in hell before they come back.
Picking pellets out the rear ends for weeks. Well done, Angus. I must confess, Hannah Semple, you are my good right hand, but you've excelled yourself with that idea.
And I must confess, mistress, it wasn't my notion, it was McCleavy's.
What? If I'd known that...
Exactly. That's what he said.
Oh, that bugger of a man.
You're not saying much, sir.
What do you think to Jessica Drummond?
Stands her ground.
Sounds like a cow in a field.
I noted she kept looking at you.
Wants me to prove her brother innocent.
And you kept looking at her.
That's my job. Scrutiny.
And my conclusion was a certain resonance.
You're too deep, Mulholland. Away and get me a hooker of whiskey.
That's me gone, sir.
Resonance.
Well, Inspector, how is the investigation?
Proceeding.
Do you press charges?
Not my decision. I present evidence.
We'll make sure it's the whole truth. I saw you from the other bar.
And I saw you with the riffraff.
Better than educated thugs.
You seem to resent these students.
I was my own teacher. No filthy lucre, no help given. Everything I am, I owe to my good self.
That's nice.
One day, I will write a book about my life. I have a diary at home where I note all that happens. Good, bad, evil and worse.
I keep a wee notation as well.
What does it hold, eh? How many arrests you made that day?
Here you are, sir. Best quality.
I'll give you until tomorrow, McCleavy. And if I hear nothing, I shall go to press next day with all guns blazing.
You said you had no help given. What about your poor old mother?
Ah, too busy with God. Good night.
Benjamin, are you asleep?
Not really.
The inspector didn't lie about the fleas.
Sweet blood. They don't bother me.
What are you thinking?
Tomorrow, I may be charged with murder.
Your mother's lawyer said even if... There's every chance of acquittal.
He's paid to say that.
This witness, how could it happen?
An old man. Perhaps he was drunk. Heavy rain. He saw me lay hold of the woman.
What?
I pulled her up. I was still angry, you see. She had called me deformed.
And after that?
I let her go.
Did she fall backwards?
I don't know. I just turned around and left. Perhaps I did kill her.
Jessica Drummond's face swims before me like a jellyfish, and produces the same feeling of inner disquiet when such an object is encountered. Ach, why am I talking about jellyfish? Her face is very beautiful to my eyes, and when her gaze met mine just before I departed, one of my knees, the left, I believe, began to knock against the right. Bad sign when your limbs are clattering. To the case, McCleavy. Benjamin Drummond. I fear the evidence against him is strong. He will go to trial. Carnegie tonight, in the tavern, gloating inside, a malicious secret glee. Ach, I cannot find my way in all this. My judgment clouded. I've been reading Edgar Allan Poe, The Telltale Heart. A murderer betrayed by his guilty imagination when he believes he hears the heart of his victim beating under the floorboards. The past come back to haunt him. But that's only a story. Fiction. This is the real world.
I, Agnes Carnegie, write this in sound mind and with the blessing of God. I have left this sealed letter with my lawyer, Mr. Percival, amongst my effects, to be delivered into the hands of the police in the form of Inspector James McCleavy, should foul play put an end to my life. I place my trust in the inspector because he arrested the brigand who stole the poor box of our church and is therefore chosen in the eyes of the Lord. As regards the aforesaid foul play, in the event of this happening, I offer the following person to be suspected and put under the duress of investigation. The issue of my own loins, Douglas Carnegie. It is a terrible thing to accuse my own son, but the voice of God has warned me that this might
the
happen.
The voice of God has warned me that, this might happen. I know that he wants my money for himself. I feel he watches me everywhere, and have taken to the locking of every possible door. I have recently changed my will and intend to leave all my estate to the church in any case. Hell mend him. I shall look down from heaven and see him in the flames, burning eternally. This, in God's name, Agnes Carnegie.
I would be glad to get Carnegie off my back, but the woman sounds like a religious maniac.
Yet she cannot be entirely discounted.
Yeah, but it may all be complete fiction.
Fiction may become fact.
And that wee dry stick of a lawyer said that Mrs. Carnegie had laid heavy duty upon him to convey this letter in the event of her death.
To me. And I feel it must be acted upon.
In what way? Show this to Carnegie. He'll laugh in your face.
Not when he finds out about the change of will.
That would be worth witnessing, but it proves nothing.
That is true. However, there are other avenues of investigation.
I'm just a poor old man.
You're nothing of the sort. I had a word with my street contacts about you, Mr. Bogue. You make your living by peddling to the papers.
Gossip, hearsay, calumnies of all kinds.
A scandalmonger.
A paid informer.
Now, these are harsh words.
And a big buyer of the scurrilous dross you sell is none other than Douglas Carnegie. Is that not so?
Now and again.
You didn't mention.
Oh, for course.
Forgot what?
That I knew him.
That's quite forgetful.
How much did he pay?
What?
For the false charge, how much?
Mr. Bogue. You will yourself be under a charge, that of perjury.
Tell the truth. We'll go easy on
you. He didn't pay me a damn penny.
Oh, dear, that's terrible. Tell me a wee thing more.
I fear this would all come to badness. Carnegie knew that I'd passed word on Mungo Donaghy.
Ah, a handy man with a knife, Donaghy.
Tobacco stolen off a ship, not peached on him.
Not to us?
Of course not. To the thieves he stole it from.
Keep it in the family.
Cut my throat if you ever found out, Mungo.
Carnegie held it over you to bear false witness on his behalf.
I know exactly false. He was certain sure this boy had done it.
So he laid out all the details, described Benjamin Drummond to you.
Aye.
Why would he do all that?
Vengeance. His poor mother was dead. Every man loves his mother.
Ah. You've done well, Andrew. Honesty is indeed the best policy.
Now, answer us one more question.
When Carnegie saw his mother in the cold room, was she covered over?
Naturally.
So he could not have seen the marks on her neck?
He didn't go near her, identified at distance.
How then could he tell Bogue that particular detail? It's never been released.
A man lay his hands upon her, round the neck. The old fellow's very words.
Another thing from my sources. Douglas Carnegie is deep in debt, owes bills in all taverns.
He'd hope to inherit the mother's money.
A vain hope, I'm glad to see.
We questioned the two boys again, asked if they saw anyone that night. Alexander Barr remembers glimpsing a man by the harbour.
Thin, tall, grey hair.
A description that matches Carnegie.
It is all circumstantial, Inspector. All Carnegie has to do is deny having spoken to Bogue, and we will all be thrown out of court.
I may have one more card to play.
From the bottom of the deck, judging by the look in your eye. Just away and find me proof of guilt, McCleavy. Material proof in my hands. And one other matter? My top hat was badly damaged in that fracas. Who's going to pay for its reparation?
Clever plan, James.
For what you say, it would seem the students got a dose of their own medicine. Have you ever been in love, Jean?
What put that into your head?
Just answer the question.
Once or twice.
What was it like?
Terrible.
That's what I thought.
Why are you asking?
No reason.
You've a funny look in your eye.
I have a favour to ask.
Such as?
Wee Johnny Murphy. I need his services.
You put his sister in jail for shoplifting.
Red-handed. A bridal gown, no less.
She was near to get married. Johnny will do you no service.
He will, if Jean Brash requests it.
Why should I?
It's not long ago that I danced in front of someone about to put a bullet through you.
It comes to mind.
Saved your life. You owe me this favour.
You have your coffee.
Is that how you measure out your existence?
I promise nothing. I'll let you know.
I shall await your word. Thank you for the beverage.
You have some deep intrigue on hand.
And a good cause.
Oh, James. Yeah. You shaved close this morning.
What?
Usually by this time of day, your chin has a blue tinge.
That's nice.
I observe you have a clean collar and a new tie, purple in colour.
I found it in a drawer.
You have all the symptoms of a bro gallant. Is it for my benefit?
It's not for anybody's benefit.
That's sad.
I just found it in a drawer.
Oh, James, you asked about love. It's the very devil.
We, Johnny Murphy, I shall await your word.
Inspector, have you brought news?
I have indeed.
Do you bring charge?
I do.
Splendid! Though I have wasted my time and effort, huh? This was to be my article in tomorrow's paper. A sober enough headline. Police once more fail in duty.
We wouldn't want to do that, sir.
Douglas Carnegie, I arrest you for the murder of your mother, Agnes. You may accompany us to the station where formal charge will be laid.
What are you saying, man?
You heard. Get your coat and hat.
There is a small matter of proof.
Do you recognise this?
It's a work of fiction.
A Bible, sir. Inside the leaf, a name written.
The Reverend James Gibbon.
And a broken piece of binding. In your mother's possession the night she died. Neither found upon the body.
Both found in your lodgings, sir.
Along with your diary. Read it, Mulholland.
This is the entry, dated 15th February, in the year of...
Just read the damn thing.
I waited till the cripple dragged himself off and then walked towards her. Her face was full of fear. I put my hands round the throat and squeezed. She whispered for the Lord, but as I knew well, he does not exist. She fell back into the cold water. I opened her bag, and the first thing I saw was her precious holy book. It seemed appropriate that I should take possession. I shut the bag and threw it after her. Good riddance.
Not the testimony of a loving son, eh?
Where did you find all this?
There was a burglary at your lodgings. A botched job. Noise enough to waken the dead. By pure coincidence, we were passing by on the saunter when your landlady emerged howling theft and invasion.
Like the good policemen we are, sir, we entered the premises and investigated.
Your desk was broken into, the lock burst open, and the contents strewn all over. In the course of having a wee tidy up, we came upon the aforesaid artifacts.
You've engineered the whole thing.
Pure coincidence. Get your coat and hat.
Go to hell! Ow!
I amazes me, Mulholland, the speed you have with that hornbeam stick.
I take no credit. A natural gift. Our thanks to wee Johnny Murphy, eh?
It must have broken his heart to make such a mess. The man's a craftsman.
All grist to the mill, sir. Grist to the mill.
God curse on you, McLeavy!
Thought you to be an unbeliever. Well, you'll find out soon enough. At the end of the hangman's rope.
Benjamin, I believe you have something to say to the inspector.
I have to thank you, sir.
Next time you may not be so lucky.
There won't be a next time.
Glad to hear it.
So, Carnegie followed his mother that night with murder on his mind and then saw his perfect opportunity.
Uh-huh. Kill her and shift the blame onto an idiot.
My forensic training tells me that you have analysed the facts correctly, sir.
Mother waits next door, Benjamin. Tea, biscuits and some bitter reprimands.
I shall swallow them all. Thank you once more, Inspector. Goodbye.
Not so fast, Mr. Drummond. The cleaning and reparation of a top hat.
I missed it by a mile.
Please arrange for the bill to be sent. It will be settled at once, sir.
You can pay it at the station.
A pleasure.
Till we meet again, Inspector.
In professional capacity.
I look forward to that.
Jessica, shall I pave the way with your mother, so to speak?
No, wait till I arrive.
Of course. Thank you once more, sir.
He's awfully polite, Mr. Barr.
It runs in the family.
What was it he had to pave the way for?
Alexander has asked me to marry him and I have accepted.
That's nice.
He will make a good husband. And father?
You're thinking ahead then?
Of course. I am a woman.
I remember you told me that.
I took the liberty of assembling a small token of my gratitude. If you would be so kind as to extend your hand and close your eyes.
Is it a dead toad?
No. Now do as you are told. There. Your hand over it. So. You're a strange man, James McCleavy. I will not forget you.
When I opened my eyes, she was gone. In my hand, a small locket, within her likeness and photograph. A written note as well, fragrant. Undying gratitude, that sort of thing. I put them both in a wee cupboard where I keep the various artifacts from the crimes I've solved. Strangler's gloves, that sort of thing. Student revels all ended now. Scarlet runners still picking small shot out of their behinds, and the blue devils lie low. The streets are quiet. Douglas Carnegie sits in his cell contemplating the flames of hell, or just a big black space. Jean Brash knew something of what I was suffering. I could see it in her eyes. And I felt guilt that she could see it. When Jessica Drummond talked of marriage, it was as if a dagger twisted in my heart. And then the spell was gone, lifted. It's only right that she should marry someone of her own age and standing. What could she do with a man like me, up to his neck in dead bodies? Only right. I hope I sleep tonight. I'll make a nice change. Tomorrow, I shall repair to the Old Ship Tavern and breakfast on drappet eggs poached in the gravy from the liver of a fowl. Seems appropriate somehow. I am James McCleavy, Inspector of Police. The spell has lifted. May it never come back. I will return to what I have always been. A thief taker.
In episode one of McCleavy, Inspector McCleavy was played by Brian Cox. Jean Brash was played by Siobhan Redmond. Constable Mulholland by Michael Percival Maxwell. Lieutenant Roach by David Ashton. Hannah by Colette O'Neill. Carnegie by Ewan Bremner. Benjamin by Sandy Grierson. Alexander by Jim Webster Stewart. Jessica by Jenny Hulse. Bogue by James Price. And Agnes by Caroline Crawford. Other parts were played by members of the cast. McCleavy was written by David Ashton, directed by Patrick Rayner. And next week, McCleavy is called to the platforms of Waverley Station to investigate the mysterious death of an Italian aristocrat.